Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, running down the top news in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. Helping me do that today is Andy Eubank. And here now, C.J. Miller.
Thank you, Eric. On the show today, we'll have more updates from the Indiana State Fair, including winners from the 4-H Grand Drive. We'll also have a report from our Purdue summer intern, Bella Monroe, on non-livestock 4-H projects that you can take in at the State Fair.
And we'll discuss the movie that forever tied baseball to corn, and how Major League Baseball capitalized on the connection.
The Indiana Farm Forecast is coming up with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, and we'll have market analysis from Bob Utterback after a USDA report day on Friday.
But we begin today's show with farmers advocating for agriculture and speaking with their elected officials as they're home on recess from Washington, D.C.
It's nice to see that somebody from Washington, D.C. does understand some of the challenges we're facing.
That's Tippecanoe County farmer Brent Bible after hosting U.S. Senator Mike Braun on his farm last week. Braun sat with farmers to discuss the top issues they're facing in the ag industry today.
We see a lot of higher input prices, particularly when it comes to fertilizer and fuels, somewhat with chemicals and seed as well, but really fertilizer and fuel have been a challenge for us this year. Not only the price on them, but in some instances, availability.
And Braun, a Republican member of the Senate Ag Committee, told Hoosier Ag Today that farmers are facing their usual obstacles, like weather, but now other obstacles as well.
Will prices be there to offset the increase in inputs? And that particularly, and then when you just look at inflation, which everybody's wrestling with, that's not just in the farming community, that's in any household or business. Largely created by policies that came from D.C.
When asked about the upcoming 2023 Farm Bill, Braun says he wishes they would have begun the process far sooner in the Senate. He now believes they'll likely follow the lead of the House and make adjustments to their version of the bill. When asked if partisan politics could get in the way of a Farm Bill getting done, Braun said,
I don't think it'll get down to a squabble. And if that happens, you've then just taken the most bipartisan committee and even let that leach into it. And I just don't think it's going to happen this year.
Braun visited Bible's farm as part of an Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance Shop Talk. To learn more about a shop talk with elected officials in your area, contact the Indiana Soybean Alliance by visiting indianasoybean.com. With the rain we've received here in Indiana over the past several weeks, it's led to reports of white mold in Indiana's soybean crop in northeastern Indiana. C.J. Miller has more.
White mold's been showing up a little bit more in our area.
And that's Bill Sweeterman with Yield Tech Seed Service, a specialty hybrids dealer for northeastern Indiana. He's recommending farmers scout their soybean fields now for white mold.
We haven't dealt with it a lot in the past, but we are definitely seeing more of white mold impacting our yields. But definitely guys are walking fields right now looking for that, specifically in their fields.
Even though the recent rainfall has been a blessing for soybean crops, on the flip side, it's also leading to the spread of this fungus.
Definitely a factor. You know, when you mix that rain and that extra carbon and that extra organic matter out there in the lower areas of the field where there's higher potential for yield, we definitely are seeing that more in those spots, and so especially in our area. And so we definitely know that we've got to tackle this issue, and so we're just learning year by year of what is the right timing for it, to how to be effective against having it spread anymore.
Bill recommends a fungicide from Bayer that can help minimize the damage from white mold.
Guys have been proactive trying to spray fungicide. We've got some trials in our area. We're spraying a product called ProLine, and we're just trying to evaluate by spraying at a certain time, can we reduce that white mold? So we're looking forward to getting those results this fall.
You can hear my full interview with Bill Sweeterman with Yield Tech Seed Service, a specialty hybrids dealer, and read more about Bayer's ProLine fungicide for soybeans at HoosierAgToday.com.
All right, CJ, thanks. Is this heaven? That's the iconic question posed to Ray Kinsella in the acclaimed 1989 film Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner, Ray Liotta, and James Earl Jones. That movie forever tied baseball to corn. Major League Baseball capitalized on that in 2021 when the New York Yankees squared off against my Chicago White Sox in Dyersville, Iowa, at the iconic movie location. Nearly 6 million viewers turned on Fox to watch White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson hit a walk-off home run into the corn in the bottom of the ninth. They're hoping even more viewers tuned in this past Thursday night when the Chicago Cubs battled the Cincinnati Reds.
When you look at this being played in a cornfield in Iowa, it just makes a corn farmer's heart sing.
That's National Corn Growers Association Chairman John Linder, who says the game is a great way to promote the hard work corn farmers do for consumers.
Consumer outreach is always top priority for farmers. What we would like for folks to know that the feedstock of many of their consumable food and fuel items, that corn is being raised sustainably and environmentally sound, and that's a very big focus for farmers. So I think this is a nice place to carry that message forward, but education is part of what we do, because if we're not telling our story, how can anyone really know the good things we do and what impacts we can have so the future generations can enjoy this planet as well as we do today?
And the corn that surrounds the Field of Dreams is DeKalb brand corn. Jamie Horton, DeKalb brand manager, says they were very excited about working with Major League Baseball.
We're honored to be the official corn seed of MLB at the Field of Dreams. And with DeKalb brand's deep legacy of providing performance to farmers, it really only makes sense that these two American classics, baseball and the famous winged ear of corn, come together. And we're excited to partner with MLB to bring this iconic game to life and to help make dreams come true. Not only at baseball heaven, but also for farmers everywhere. And we believe winning has roots no matter what field you're on. And a legacy of legendary performance comes from generations of meeting challenges head on with persistence, passion, and team support.
The Cubs beat the Reds 4-2 Thursday night. So, was it heaven? Well, not for me. I'm a White Sox fan. The Cubs got to win. But no, it was just Iowa, a cornfield in Iowa. Let's turn our attention now to the markets and welcome in our Andy Eubank. USDA report day was on Friday. What impact did that have on the markets, Andy?
Well, Eric, the effect was variable, I guess. Markets did go lower after the report release, stayed that way, then climbed back, and corn and soybeans actually finished on the plus side. Right near the end of trade, I checked in with Bob Utterback for his thoughts. We have the numbers coming up, too. First, Bob Utterback, Utterback Marketing Services.
Estimates going in was carryovers 1506, came in at 1530 on corn, a little above. Beans carryover estimates were right on 225. Probably the biggest adjustments was on corn yield. They knocked off 0.4 a bushel from 175.8 down to 175.4. But the acres, they knocked off went from 81.842 to 81.8, just really a statistical averaging. So it means that August report, end of the month, do they reflect any more acreage? That's what the bull will be waiting for. On the beans, 51 was last month. Average trade estimates going in came in at 51.9. So the bean yields increased, even though we're getting a lot of reports of spider mites and difficulty getting chemicals. USDA increased the yields, even with the dryness we saw in July, which I think that's probably a bigger surprise of anything. Harvested acres, 87.71 was average going in, came in 87.2, pretty much dead on. World stock, there's not too much in here in reference to the Ukrainian situation. The world stock ending stocks ending up 267 was the average trade coming in, came in 267. Last week was 260, last month was 267. Last year was 276, so it's hard to discern what they're saying about the Ukrainian situation.
Analyst Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. His number, 800-832-1488. Final numbers. September corn goes to 639.75, gaining a dime and a half after selling off after the report. December corn, 642.25, up 14.5 cents. And up 14.75, September soybeans, 1535. The Novi contract, 1454.25, a nickel and three quarters higher. And down 4.75 on September wheat, settling at 806. The meats also lower. October live cattle, 144.50, down 60 cents. October lean hogs, $100.02, down $1.05. There's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
A little bit of moisture trying to move across the Hoosier State here this weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. We're starting off the weekend with a little system coming together, coming out of Wisconsin, across Lake Michigan, and into Michigan proper. Now, I think that's going to throw some clouds down our way over northern Indiana and maybe a few hit and miss scattered showers. For your Saturday, I guess I'm not looking for much more than a few hundreds to a few tenths, mostly in that north central to northeastern part of the state. However, a secondary surge comes overnight as we get closer to midnight and then goes right on through probably sunrise to midday on Sunday. That surge may have better thunderstorm potential with it, and so I'm calling for an additional tenth to 1 inch out of that. All told, when you put the first little blip in early today with the secondary surge that comes overnight tonight into tomorrow, you're probably looking at coverage around 60 to 70% of the Hoosier State. I do believe we get sunshine back for Sunday afternoon in a lot of areas, and then we're going to be settling into a very dry forecast period this entire week coming up. The way I see it right now, we are dry Monday through at least Saturday. Yes, there's a little bit of hit and miss moisture trying to pop up to our west and north, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, eastern Iowa on Friday. But to me, it looks like it has trouble getting in here. Maybe Saturday midday to afternoon, we see a few showers and thunderstorms around. But it looks to me like a better potential for Sunday into early Monday. So timing is up in the air, but no moisture in my mind after this weekend till we get all the way to the end of the 10-day forecast window. We follow that up then, I think, with drier weather for the 22nd, so Monday afternoon, the 22nd, right on through probably that Thursday and Friday. So well below normal precipitation here over the next 2 weeks, and when the rains come, it is going to be somewhat spotty, so you need to count on that. That's the precipitation side of the forecast. Now, let's go back and talk temperatures. It was beautifully comfortable yesterday. I think this little wave coming in out of Michigan today is going to start to increase our humidity a little bit. We're already seeing heat and humidity build farther off to the south and west over Missouri and Illinois. But I think it probably takes into the early part of this coming week before we see significant heat build. Right now, I'm looking for Monday to be a transitionary day, and then Tuesday stays on the cooler side. Wednesday, Thursday, temperatures are climbing, and we see humidity values jump. And by the time we get to next weekend, with that moisture around, I do believe we're looking at above normal temperatures over the entire nation's midsection. But the good news is, while we're going drier than normal over the next 2 weeks, I also believe that our temperatures are not going to be much more than normal on average. There's not impressive or excessive heat over a long period of time in this next 2 weeks coming up. That's a look at your forecast. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The Indiana State Fair is back, and so is American Dairy Association Indiana's famous and fabulous State Fair Dairy Bar. Celebrate the return of the State Fair Dairy Bar with this year's featured treats, the Quick Quesadilla, cheesy goodness served up with Indiana's own Red Gold Salsa, and the Mint Cookie Milkshake, a taste delight topped with crumbled Girl Scout Thin Mint Cookies.
Brought to you by American Dairy Association Indiana, your Hoosier Dairy Farm families. Find out more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. Our coverage continues from the Indiana State Fair. Last weekend, the grand champions were selected at the 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America.
It was a jaw drop. Absolutely no feeling like that.
And that's Harper Henney of Steuben County, who exhibited this year's Grand Champion Market Lamb. She says it's been a long journey to produce a Grand Champion.
These past 4 or 5 years, I learned to absolutely love them. They're frustrating sometimes, but at the end of the day, this is the project that I go home to and go out to the barn to and take them for a walk or treadmill or feed or absolutely just go feed them an animal cracker. They're just, their personality is everything. The way they look, like if they just, the sheep are something that I've always loved and enjoyed.
LaPorte County's Austin Hesters exhibited the Grand Champion Dairy Steer. Austin says his steer has a peculiar name.
I won with my dairy steer Yoder. We got him as a calf last year at State Fair. He originally came from an Amish family, and everyone always makes fun of my beard being Amish, so we called him Yoder.
Austin says Yoder has been quite a handful.
He's pretty fat, but he's got a lot of muscle under there. While we were waiting there in the rain, there was a a feed pan going around, and I had to constantly keep him away from it. He was trying to eat it.
So what's Austin's advice for other kids in 4-H?
Just keep trying. I've been in this 10 years. I've been in the Grand Drive 5 times, and this is the first time I've won. Just keep trying, and you'll get there eventually.
Meanwhile, Harper, who is a 10-year 4-H member, was choked up thinking about her time in 4-H.
Life goes by fast, and so does 4-H. Don't take any moment for granted, because it'll be over in a blink of an eye. And just do absolutely everything with your whole heart. Go out to the barn with your family, and do it with your family, because that's the biggest family time you have for us, between softball and all the animals. Go out there, enjoy every single second of it.
Check out the video of all the grand champions of this year's 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America at HoosierAgToday.com. Coming up on Sunday at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum at the Indiana State Fair, it's the 4-H Supreme Drive. That begins at 4 o'clock, and we'll have coverage of that event as well at Hoosier Ag Today. While you're at the Indiana State Fair, don't forget to swing by the FFA Pavilion and see what the FFA has in store for you and your family. Hoosier Ag Today's Elise Koning reports from the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
The FFA Pavilion showcases the accomplishments of FFA members and chapters from across the state. This year's Indiana FFA State President Seth Arian says the building is not only a home for FFA members, it also demonstrates various aspects of agriculture.
Some other things you can find in the pavilion are our farm to fork. It takes you through the entire process of how our food is grown. Dress for Success, it shows you different careers in agriculture and helps you find one that maybe fits you. We also have the Corteva Corner, and they do really fun experiments, mostly based around plants and seeds. And then we have an AgMet Corner, as well as the playground, and our always infamous putt-putt course.
Visitors can also stop by the Country Market for jams, honey, maple syrup, and more products made in Indiana.
And all the funds from that come back to Indiana FFA scholarships and things that will fund our center and activities that we do throughout the year.
Arian says the pavilion gives his team an opportunity to talk with others about the organization and the ag industry.
One of the reasons that we ran for FFA office, our state office, is because we love to advocate for agriculture and for FFA, and we do that every day at the FFA Pavilion.
The FFA Pavilion is sponsored by Corteva AgriScience and is open every day of the state fair from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I am Elise Koning.
Thank you, Elise. Well, when's the last time you've had bison meat? You can try a unique new bison dish from an Indiana bison farm while you're visiting the Indiana State Fair.
Give bison meat a try. Give us a try.
And that's Zach Martin, owner of Red Fraser Bison Ranch near Bloomfield in Greene County. He says bison meat is very similar to beef.
Except for the statistic I like to drop a lot is that it's higher in iron and protein than beef, but has less fat and cholesterol than skinless chicken breast or salmon. And so it is that health conscious eater that really likes their red meat steaks, their burgers and all that, they still get the opportunity to enjoy that with bison meat.
He and his team have a food trailer set up near the Pioneer Village at the Indiana State Fair, where you can check out their newest culinary creation, their bison lettuce wrap.
It really puts the bison meat at the forefront, and so we want to give people the opportunity to really taste bison and you know, that be the dominating ingredient in the product.
Zach owns about 150 head of bison on his farm. Not only does it cost a lot more to raise bison compared to cattle, it also takes much longer.
Beef especially go to the market a lot younger and a lot sooner than bison do. We're not sending them to market until they're in the 24-month to 36-month range, whereas a lot of beef cattle are hitting the market at 18 months. And so it's a much more laborsome process to get them ready to go the size that we want to hit the market. It takes a lot longer than beef, but it's for the best in the end.
He also says bison can be a challenge to work with.
They're extremely fast, extremely powerful, and I've literally watched a 2,400-pound bull clear a 5-foot fence without even touching his hoof on top. You know, I mean, they can get up there and they can move fast and hard.
Zach says the goal of serving up his bison lettuce wrap at the state fair is to not only attract new customers, but also to turn more people on to buying bison meat.
Not everyone's had the opportunity to try it, and that's our main goal here at the State Fair, is to present bison meat in a comfortable format so people can try it, understand the benefits, and understand the taste. It's a much softer, sweeter textured meat. It's really worth the try.
You can hear my full interview with Zach Martin of Red Fraser Bison and see photos of the bison on his Greene County Ranch in southern Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com. That's where you can find more stories from the Indiana State Fair, as well as all the latest news on Indiana agriculture. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is at Hoosier Ag Today. I'm CJ Miller from Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
The Indiana State Fair is back, and so is American Dairy Association Indiana's famous and fabulous State Fair Dairy Bar. From July 29th through August 21st, we'll be serving up all the great Dairy Bar treats you've been craving, like our rich and creamy signature milkshakes, those scrumptious grilled cheese sandwiches, thirst-quenching ice-cold milk, and so much more. In fact, celebrate the return of the State Fair Dairy Bar with this year's featured treats, the Quick Quesadilla, cheesy goodness served up with Indiana's own Red Gold Salsa, and the Mint Cookie Milkshake, a taste delight topped with crumbled Girl Scout Thin Mint Cookies. The Dairy Bar, a great Indiana State Fair tradition. We're on Main Street opposite the Farmers Coliseum, and we're open every day through the fair from 9 to 9. We'll see you there.
Brought to you by American Dairy Association Indiana, your Hoosier Dairy Farm families. Find out more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. Well, as parts of Indiana have gotten some much needed rain over the past few weeks, the bad news is that tar spot is now more likely to show up in Indiana's corn crops.
I think the main problem is how detrimental it's been the last couple years.
And that's Chad Threewitz, based out of Wells County in northeastern Indiana. He's an agronomy service representative with Syngenta. He says tar spot is increasingly becoming an issue affecting corn yield.
Previous years, it was just spotty across the state with a few fields really having a lot of problems. But last year, we saw really throughout the whole summer this large increase of the amount of problems it really did with yield, with standability.
Chad says the rain that's been more prevalent over the past few weeks across Indiana may cause tar spot to pop up late in the year.
With the amount of rainfall we just had, it takes about 14 to 21 days to start this cycle. So tar spot can start reproducing in our field. So it's a great time to be out looking. Especially, we talked a little later planting. We really expected to see it a little later this year. And now with these recent rainfalls, we really can assume that we're going to start seeing it in many parts of the state.
He says there's no hybrid or solution to completely get rid of tar spots, but fungicides can help.
Those products work really well on tar spot. However, we've learned that, you know, they have a limited residual also. So it's really understanding timing. Timing is a big one that we've learned after last year. Just because we think we know everything on a disease, we learned real quick last year that this disease came in for a long time and timing really made that a challenge. So this year is going to be different. And taking those kind of things we learned the last 2 years and really developing that plan and changing that plan as we go forward.
Chad recommends a fungicide from Syngenta.
Our lead product that we really saw nice benefits from was Miravis Neo fungicide. It's three active ingredients, all those having activity on tar spot, but also other diseases. And really in this dry year, we've seen a lot of benefits with just plant health, right? So helping that plant get through some of these stressful times, protecting our yield going into this fall.
Read more about Miravis Neo from Syngenta at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, here at Hoosier Ag Today, we've been featuring a lot of different 4-H kids and their livestock animals at the Indiana State Fair. But what about those non-animal 4-H projects? Our Purdue University summer intern Bella Monroe was recently at the Indiana State Fair and took a closer look.
When visiting the Indiana State Fair, there is more than just food, rides, and animals. You can also visit the 4-H exhibit hall where you can find 4-Hers, their projects, and learn more about what they do.
My name is Nicholas. I'm from Lake County. I just presented e-spread and pickle relish.
I have done horse and pony, creative riding, fine art, and photography.
Well, I just turned in a pie for foods today, but I also have a floriculture arrangement here as well.
I have my vet science poster. Maybe if I become a vet, it'll help me
know about AI and all that.
That was Madeline McKay from Carroll County. And from a young age, she has known how the value of 4-H will help her in her future. She and Alexa Adler from Vandenberg County understand the hard work involved in 4-H.
I have gardening and woodworking, and I also show pigs and cows. I love the hard work that goes into it and the payback when you get to see all your ribbons and what you did in the fair.
Regina Hofer from Tippecanoe County, who also participated in the fashion show, is learning life skills as a 4-H member.
It's helped me to persevere in my projects, like some projects such as sewing. Like, I wasn't really that good at sewing, and then I kept on doing it, and now I'm getting champions and stuff.
Enjoy the exhibits in the air-conditioned 4-H exhibit hall on the northwest side of the fairgrounds. And when you see a 4-H'er, ask them about their project. I'm Bella Monroe.
Thank you, Bella. Speaking of the Indiana State Fair, Hoosier Ag Today's Andy Eubank was there this past week to witness a masterpiece of cheese.
The annual cheese sculpture reveal event brought applause and some amazement to those gathered at the Indiana State Fair this week. American Dairy Association Indiana has the sculpture crafted each year by the cheese lady, Sarah Kaufman. And this year's masterpiece of cheese depicts the fair's automotive theme with a nod to IndyCar driver Joseph Newgarden and Indy 500 milk presenters like Janet Daig.
I like to consider myself a winner this time because winners drink milk, and now I am made of milk. It was kind of exciting. It looks like me enough that my neighbor texted me a picture of it going, "You're in cheese."
Daig is on the board of Indiana Dairy, and her face is a part of the sculpture along with next year's head milkman, Carrie Estes. Daig says promotions like the sculpture are a continual reminder to the public of the work and value put in by dairy farmers.
Convinces everyone that how hard we work, and everybody to eat cheese, drink milk, and it's all healthy for you.
The cheese sculpture will remain on display through the end of the state fair run. Indiana dairy farmers are also keeping busy with the dairy bar, always a big hit and always offering new dairy creations. One of those is
the top seller so far, the mint cookie milkshake topped with Girl Scouts thin mint cookie crumbles.
Brooke Williams is director of communications for ADAI.
A portion of the proceeds of that shake go back to Girl Scouts of Central Indiana. So the first time we've ever had a dairy bar item where proceeds go to an organization. So very excited. Glad the people are eating it right up. And the second one that's doing very well is our quick quesadilla. So it's this year's signature grilled cheese sandwich, two flour tortillas filled with cheddar and Monterey Jack cheese, and served with a side of red gold salsa.
Keep an eye on the Hat YouTube channel for video from the cheese sculpture unveiling. I'm Andy Eubank.
Thank you so much, Andy. That does it for this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. Have a great weekend and a great time out of the Indiana State Fair. I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.